Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety from the Lighthouse Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Dan Saracini, in case you forgot. It's been a little while. Joining me on this Sunday evening is my friend Michael Leboff. And the Islanders haven't been playing any games, although it is November. But there has been a huge bit of news over the last couple of days, and that is that the career of the great Johnny Boychuk has ended. And so we thought we'd get together and talk about a guy who's been an Islanders legend since the moment he arrived. I mean, I don't want to really think about when he wasn't an Islander, because it's been a lot more fun having him on the team than before he was on the team, right?
Yeah, he really kind of just became an Islander, which is, you know, I think because he won a cup with the Bruins, and like that's when he had his, you know, come up. People still think of him as a Bruin first, kind of how I think a lot of people still think of Cal Clutterbuck as a member of like the Wild, more than, even though he's been on the Islanders for longer than that, just because when they kind of landed on the scene and became these, you know, bigger cult heroes that, you know, when you have success, that cult heroism kind of gets expanded to the greater audience by, you know, the media, especially in Canada when they're calling games on like TSN and stuff. But he's an Islander because he really did everything that when he was acquired, he was sold as, you know, a hardworking guy who's just going to play through everything. He's going to get in front of everyone. He's going to be the type of guy who thrives when he's going up against the Alex Ovechkins and Evgeny Malkins of the world. And he came as advertised and basically took a team that, not a lot of people would do what Johnny Boychuk did for the Islanders. Let's just, like, you know, for the Islanders, you know, it wasn't like he was going to the Leafs or to the, like the Canadians or teams with more, I guess, pedigree at the time. He took a franchise that was young in terms of its roster at the time and kind of became the adult in the room and the grizzled veteran. And in that role too, he was as advertised, and it was impossible not to like the guy. And I think just like the way his career kind of arced with the Islanders, it was like almost like a perfect, obviously it's, you know, the way he had to call it quits is sad. And you hope his, you know, the rest of his life is great, but he just, his arc as an Islander character was really nice. And, I don't think he could ask for more and we could ask for more of him, as fans.
Yeah. I think a lot. Yeah. I mean, I agree with all of that. A lot of that, I think, has to do with his previous history before coming to the Islanders. I read our sister site, that's the Bruins site, Stanley Cup of Chowder, actually posted an article about it. And I think they were surprised. There was a line in there about how they were surprised that he spent more time as an Islander than he did as a Bruin, which is kind of funny. And he's a guy, he spent 404 games as an Islander, but he also had 317 games as a Bruin. And it didn't seem like he was that old, but, you know, he came to the Islanders when he was already 31. And so, you know, this was a guy who logged a lot of minutes and a lot of games, and particularly playoff games. Actually, he actually played more playoff games with the Bruins than he did with the Islanders, but we'll get into that at the same time. But, you know, he's a guy who brought with him a certain, I hate this word sometimes, but I think it applies to a guy like Johnny Boychuk, like a gravitas. He came from this team that, A, is an, you know, original six team, very well established. Everybody knows the Boston Bruins. He had won a cup. He had played with Chara, and, you know, he wore that kind of old school, you know, kind of mentality about him, and was obviously very successful, played with Bergeron and Marchand and all those guys. And then the Islanders acquire him, and really for not much. We'll get to that trade in a little bit, because obviously Nick Leddy was part of it too. And that's the kind of trade that guys like you and me and others can point to as never working out for the Islanders. Like, they never got, you know, they've tried to get guys like that in the past. I mean, Trevor Linden would be like an example, or even like Robert Reichel, but not quite. They hadn't won Stanley Cups. Kirk Muller, obviously, unfortunately, is another example. Those guys never really stayed that long and never really worked out that well. And so here was Boychuk, obviously a lower profile than some of those guys, but the Bruins had a cap problem and somebody was going to have to go, and Boychuk needed a new contract. And so the Islanders, Garth Snow, was able to pounce. And I mean, you can't even really just say, oh, he's one of Garth's better trades. I mean, it's arguably the best trade Garth made, unless, you know, we're counting the Barzell as well. But it's up there. It's up there if you're looking at Garth's best deals. I mean, that's the Letty, the Saturday blockbuster of Letty and Boychuk both coming in within an hour of each other is probably number two right behind Barzell. And so he came and immediately established himself as a guy who wanted to be here, wanted to play and be an Islander. And this was before Barry Trotz, you know, obviously, you know, Jack Capuano was a coach at the time. And this was when the team was still trying to find its way. You know, you had Tavares, obviously, but they hadn't had a lot of success. They hadn't made the playoffs. Well, he wasn't on the 2013 team, but, you know, that was kind of a fleeting moment in time. And right from the get-go, did all the things that people expected him to do. He had that big shot. He blocked a lot of shots. He fought. He just played a ton of minutes and ate a ton of pucks and gave the Islanders something that they hadn't had in a long time, which was just a guy that was just stable. Like, he was just a stable guy that could win and had been on winning teams and knew what it took to win. I know these are all cliches, but the Islanders hadn't had a guy like that in a very long time that, you know, wasn't drafted by them. And, you know, brought that kind of attitude towards him. And then, of course, the hanging specter of the entire season, for the most part, was, well, is he going to stay? Like, we've had these guys. We've been down this road before. But now what happens? And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was signed sometime in, like, January or February. It didn't come down to the wire or anything with him. But he just, like, in the middle of the season, he just signed this 6-year contract extension. And while a lot of people were like, oh, my God, why did he sign a 31-year-old guy to a 6-year contract? That's stupid. Are you crazy? We were just like, holy shit, he's staying? Are you kidding? is this real? Is he's really he wants to play here and be here? I tweeted it. I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, but I tweeted a picture of a tweet from Joe Haggerty, the, you know, Boston Bruins writer, about a month after that trade, was like, my gut feeling or something is that I can't see Boychuk staying with the Isles. He wants cups. Well, he stayed with the Islanders. They didn't win a cup. We'll talk about that a little bit too, but he stayed and he gave the Islanders everything he had in a way that a lot of people hadn't for a long time. And his presence will definitely be missed, although his contributions on the ice have been a little bit lessened. He missed for the most part, this, you know, run to the conference finals here, and was kind of replaced by your man, Andy Green, who is still kind of waiting a contract. And now with this big chunk, $6 million off, you know, coming off the books, but there might be a cushion there. Green is still out there. A couple other guys might still are going to, you know, supposedly get signed soon. And we'll see how this all shakes out. But at first, the Islanders are going to need to reckon with the loss of a big voice and a big personality in their room. And it won't be easy, you know, Andy Green or no Andy Green.
Yeah, he's we always like kind of roll our eyes at those cliches all the time. But when it is your guy, like, you see them and you're like, oh, no, it you know, it makes sense sometimes to kind of get caught up in it. And Boychuk kind of in the best way possible was the playing, walking, breathing hockey cliche, like what everybody likes about the sport. You know, Johnny Boychuk kind of was it. And he you said it, like, his the way his kind of he changed the way the team was and like operated in a way that if you don't pay attention to the Islanders, like, you probably didn't notice, or you may be attributed to John Tavares really hitting his prime and Oposo and those guys having big years. But it really, you know, Boychuk and Letty to an extent really just changed the whole dynamic of the roster. And he never touched how well he played in that first season, but he never was an albatross. Like, and that's why I was talking about like his career arc and him, you know, going out a little early. You know, it sucks for the reason that he has to call it quits. But it's nice that he kind of is going out. I don't want to say on top, because like, this, we're not talking about you know, Zdeno Chara or someone, but you know, he's going out kind of at, you know, a high level where he was still a functioning, you know, serviceable number 5-6 defenseman, still had that great shot, and still was just like an absolute cyclone on the ice. Like, just got, like, the play just found him all the time, because he was hitting people. He, like you said, he was eating pucks. He was doing all this stuff. And he's going to be missed, you know, not just by us. And, you know, we were talking about how we couldn't really remember the last time the Islanders had a guy that retired And obviously Twitter changes this. So it's only like, you know, what do you want to call it? Decades worth of these kind of things. But when an Islander retired, where not only did he not just kind of disappear into the void, like we saw with like Radek Martinek and Dennis Seidenberg and those guys, where they're kind of just like playing and practicing on Long Island, and the Islanders are like, well, let's just keep that guy around and he'll either retire or we might need him to play against the Coyotes because, you know, a couple guys got injured. They just never really had guys, you know, DiPietro, Yashin, these guys kind of, they didn't have the glorified retirement parade, the au revoir parade that Boychuk got, like people from all over the league and the media fawning over him and wishing him the best. Like, I don't remember the last time that ever happened to an Islander when he went out, you know, playing as an Islander and in going out at this kind of level. I seriously can't remember it. You probably have to go back to, you know, pre Charles Wong Islanders or someone, because it's really hard to think about a guy who is known, you know, you can argue Boychuk 50-50 with the Bruins, whatever, but a guy who is definitely an Islander who retired and got this swan song, well, a well-deserved one. And that kind of shows you a couple things. A, how great Johnny Boychuk was and how much Islander fans and people around the league liked him and how lucky we were. You know, it was really truly a pleasure to have him on the Islanders for as long as we did. But it also just goes to show you how few Johnny Boychuks have kind of come in and out of that locker room since the heydays.
I would say, I mean, you'd have to go back to the heyday, and I would say that it probably, I mean, obviously Twitter didn't exist in 1988 or 89 or whatever it was, but you'd have to go back to like a Nystrom or maybe even Billy Smith. Like, I don't know if too many people would have, you know, been happy or wished Billy Smith well in retirement, but I think you probably would have gotten a lot of stuff at that point. You know, like, oh, hey, great, you know, great career to a competitor, whatever. Nystrom for sure. Like Bob Nystrom would have definitely gotten the treatment that Johnny Boychuk got. And, you know, the afternoon that he announced that his career was over, there were obviously all the Islanders came out on their Instagrams. Anders Lee had a beautiful sort of four picture thing. Scott Mayfield, Devon Taves all the way from Colorado, you know, giving his respect, talked about how after he scored his first goal, Boychuk bought him a monogrammed bottle of wine. You know, and that's the kind of thing that he does, and that's the kind of thing that sticks with people. Scott Mayfield had a nice thing to say. But even, like you said, from around the league. So, I mean, René Lavoie, the, you know, French-Canadian reporter from RDS had some nice things to say. And guys from Boston were saying nice things. I mean, he hadn't played in Boston in 6 years, and they were still had nice thing to say. And Milan Lucic, who was his teammate with the Bruins, had a really nice thing. I don't even know Milan Lucic was even on Twitter, and he took time out to like tweet about, you know, his brother or whatever. Also Dave Boychuk, Johnny's brother, had a really nice thing to say too, out there, which you kind of expect that. But, yeah, it was interesting to see. And I mean, again, it's a sad way for a guy to go out, and we should talk about that for a minute. So back in March, which I know feels like it was 10 years ago, but it was just this season. The Islanders were playing the Canadiens at Barclays Center, and Boychuk was cut by a skate of Arturi Lehkonen. It's kind of a freak thing. It was weird, but Boychuk unfortunately required 90 stitches, which is pretty gruesome. It was blood. I was actually out. I was watching on my phone, and I was like, what happened to Boychuk? And then I heard later, and I was like, oh my God. And then about a week after that, the NHL and most of the world just went on pause, and nobody was heard from for several months. And so when the Islanders reconvened for the return to play, they got Boychuk back healthy along with Adam Pellick. And you thought, oh, okay, well maybe, you know, they might have a chance now. First game of the play-in series against the Panthers, Boychuk takes a hit, a high hit from Mike Matheson, leaves the game and does not come back until the Eastern Conference Finals were half over. And that was, you know, kind of what we thought was, oh man, it was bad luck. What Johnny Boychuk thought was his vision had not come back 100%. And if you watch the Zoom call with him when his announcement was made, he said that he realized he had lost some peripheral vision because he should have seen Matheson coming at least a little bit. I don't know if he would have braced for it or maybe, you know, even avoided the hit, but he definitely should have seen him coming. And that was when he realized. And even before that, even during training, he noticed something was a little bit off. And then once I hit the ice with the Panthers, like he knew this is not right. And so after the Islander season was over and he came back and he saw a bunch of doctors, and they all basically came to the same determination, which was that you're going to get hurt. It's not so much about losing vision, which obviously, you know, could happen, but it's more about if you can't see dudes coming from all angles like you used to, you could get seriously hurt. Concussion, broken this, busted that, and the rest of your life could seriously be impacted. So this is a guy with three really small kids at home and a wife and the whole thing. And, you know, he just had to make the decision. He called it a life choice. It was less about making the decision to walk away, you know, and more about making the decision for the rest of his life, which is the seriousness of this whole thing. And so it's sad that Johnny Boychuk won't be wearing number 55 for the Islanders next season, whenever that starts. But, you know, when you look at it that way, again, he's a guy with a whole family and his whole life ahead of him. He's younger than me, for Christ's sake. Like, I'm talking about him like he's an old man. He's like 6 years younger than me. You know, it's it obviously, you know, he's making the right choice for himself, and you can't begrudge him that. It sucks for us as fans, but what are you going to do?
You mentioned, you know, the 55, and I always thought this about him. He really looked like the way his he really played like the way his jersey and equipment was, like the 55, the last name saying Boychuk over it. Like, it was just like there should have been just a heavy metal band playing anytime he was on the ice, you know? Like, he was just all over the place in that regard. And that's the point, is that it's for a guy who played that style of hockey, it must be really scary to know that if you can't see people or pucks coming at you from angles, because his game is predicated on making the most of that chaos of that's taking place on the ice. And if you can't see it coming, like, that's a big issue, you know? So, good sure. God, man. You said, like, in the beginning, we're talking about the contract a little bit. And I think a lot of, a huge thing, or a huge kind of testament to Boychuk, was that if even like the smarmiest of, you know, thumb on the nose up at you, analytics and contract, you know, hawks on Twitter, for the most part, they were drowned out. Like, this wasn't the Islanders are really, you know, Lou does it again. There was a little bit of that, but the fact was the people were, when people, I mean, we're going to get to it, like, but everybody was sure to say, like, look, this guy, this isn't, you know, Stefan Robida or someone, you know, like that. Like, this isn't, you know, David Clarkson, who's still an active player in the NHL. Like, this is, we need to, you know, pay proper respect to a career that was just a lot of fun and a lot of an enjoyable career and an enjoyable person. So there's just so much good. There's so many good things you can say about the guy. And I can't honestly, like, I can't remember anybody really ever bad mouthing Boychuk as an Islander. People be like, oh, he's getting slow and he can't really keep up in the contract, yada, yada. But, like, it was always with a qualifier at the end, be like, and I love Johnny Boychuk, but, or, you know, at the end, yeah. But, like, you know, and I'm not saying I hate him and I want him off the team, but, like, you know, so he's just the type of guy that it was just impossible not to love. And it went from top to bottom too. Like, like you were saying with, like, Lee and the guys posting on Instagram, just like everybody seemed to just love that guy. If anytime they'd flash to him on the bench, like, somebody was smiling next to him and stuff. He had really kind of entrancing eyes too. So, like, he's had this, like, aura about him, and that's going to be missed. Like, there is going to be, like, this weird hole in the Islanders kind of, like, ethos going forward, because he was a big part of the fabric of the team. From personality to the way he played,
those baby blue eyes and that big grin, you know, like, that's,
it's so,
that's
funny that that kind of player had that kind of baby face going, like, it was chiseled, but, like, right. you're talking about, like, you know, if you put Jeff Skinner's face on, you know, like, Eric right. Goddard or something,
he's, you know, he's 6'2", 227, and he's going to hit you like a train coming at you. And yet, he's got a baby face. Like, it's just, he's got the friendliest face.
His eyes will be twinkling as he's hip checking you.
Right. But, like, you know, and that there will be a hole in the locker room. I just totally remembered before we came on. And I'm glad that this got mentioned. There's a bunch of stories on the Islander site that are all definitely worth reading. And our friend Corey Wright wrote a nice one here about the mark that Boychuk left on the Islanders. And I had totally forgotten about the leather jacket. Remember the leather jacket that was given out after games to the player of the game or whatever? That was purchased by Boychuk, I believe, off of eBay. And he just saw it and he was like, that's awesome. And it became like a thing that, you know, I don't know how much play it got outside of Islanders fandom, but it was just their thing and it was awesome. And it was like, that's great. That's the kind of thing that Johnny Boychuk does. Again, he gives guys a bottle of wine when they score a goal. Like those are the kinds of things that you can't buy. And I don't know if Garth Snow necessarily knew that Boychuk would be that kind of player when he acquired him. But he was. And I think, you know, I think not for nothing too. I think Boychuk, not that he wasn't beloved in the Bruins room, obviously, but I think coming to a team like the Islanders that hadn't been quite as established as the Bruins probably let him shine a little bit more, you know, and take the reins of being like the veteran guy. You know, he came in and was sort of immediately like the team dad. And, you know, I wrote this in the thing, like he was the team dad, but he was also a goofball. So like, everybody looked up to him. He was like everybody's big brother. But at the same time, who's the first guy goofing around? I remember when Jason Chimera had that a goal and they had Boychuk mic'd up for that game. And he was like, he's heating up, you know, like the old NBA Jam thing. He was yelling at Jason. Like he was goofy on the ice, goofy in the locker room. And hopefully they can find another voice that's like that.
His mark is so profound that I think that someone in that locker room who's been around Boychuk has seen how that kind of personality needs to operate. And I'm sure, and you're happy because the mantle will be passed. I think the Islanders have enough guys like kind of in that mold and that Boychuk probably, you know, has enjoyed being around. So it is nice that this team, which is always talked about, and these are another one of those cliches that we bandy about, but it seems to just kind of hold weight, is that this is a huge, this room is like just incredibly tight and this team has been tight. And Boychuk, it's passing that mantle of being this kind of guy, it'll land safely, I think, which is nice. Like it's not, you know, like it's not, he's not being shipped out of town and, or anything like that. It's the people around him will see like, oh, like that is an enjoyable person to be around. I want to be more like Johnny Boychuk. And that will help the team down the line, whether you can quantify it or not.
Yeah. So real quick before we go to the break, let's talk about the trade that brought Johnny Boychuk here. Again, happened on a Saturday. I remember because I was at the supermarket and I heard rumblings. I was reading on Twitter rumblings that the Islanders were working on something. And I believe Boychuk was the first of the two, and then Letty came after him. But October 4th, 2014, the Islanders traded Philly's second round pick, which had been acquired in the Andrew McDonald trade, if I'm not mistaken. It was either Andrew McDonald or Mark Streit, one of those two trades. They got a second round pick from the Flyers and they sent that to the Bruins, plus their own second round pick in the 2016. So it was a second rounder in 2015 and then second rounder in the 2016 draft. That 2015 pick ended up being Brandon Carlo, who's a pretty darn good player in his own right. And a lot of people don't talk about that, but that's another kind of signpost as to how much Boychuk was liked in that. People aren't like using that as like, like we got Brandon Carlo and all you got was Johnny Boychuk. Like, you know, I mean, especially for those of us that remember the Niederreiter for Ken Clutterbuck trade, that was, you know, a hot point of contention for a long time. Like that never happened. Two pretty good players got, you know, you traded a pretty good player and you got a second round pick and you got used that on a pretty good player. So there you go. Ryan Lindgren was that second rounder in 2016. I feel like I've heard that name before.
I think he's a Long Island guy. I think he plays for the Rangers now.
Oh, maybe, yeah. And then so a little bit later that same day, the Islanders traded TJ Brennan, who has played for everybody's AHL team in the universe, Ville Poukka, and goalie Anders Nilsson, who's now back in the league with the Senators, to the Blackhawks for Nick Leddy and Kent Simpson, who I have no recollection of whatsoever. And so within a span of an hour, it wasn't just like two good trades within, you know, the same day. Like that happens. It's rare, but it happens. Both guys, again, were caught up in a cap crunch in their team. The Bruins, you know, the Blackhawks couldn't afford to extend Letty, and they had to get rid of him. And, you know, because they could sign Brent Seabrook for 50 years and all those other guys, Taves and all those other guys. And so the Islanders were the beneficiary of both of those plays, and they really didn't give up much at all. We thought that losing Ville Poca was going to be a problem, but didn't really work out that way for the Blackhawks. But it wasn't just two good trades within the same day. It was Garth Snow acquired a top defensive pairing within an hour of each other and gave up very, very little. He gave up three young players and two draft picks, and that was it. And all of a sudden, the Islanders had a top defensive pairing that could actually play on the same ice with some of the better players in the league. Like, now all of a sudden, when you go up against the Blackhawks and Jonathan Toews is there, like, you're not, you know, sweating because Andrew McDonald is out there. Like, this is, these guys are pretty good. And you had a power play, you know, that could now bring it and have, you know, be a little bit more, I guess, you know, productive than it had been. So that was, that's remarkable. And I still think about that. Just like, how the hell did this guy do that? Like, I know we, you know, we talked about Garth ad nauseum, but like, how often do you see a general manager acquire a top defensive pair in one day in two separate trades and not really give up that much? It's just crazy. And the fact that those two guys are still here 6 years later, again, you know, Boychuk obviously having to step away, like, that's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable that, you know, those guys, they're not the they were not the top defensive pair this year, let's be honest. But I mean, that's the way it works. You know, they were at the time and for a couple of years, and then you know, Ryan Pulock and Adam Pellick obviously has had his coming out party now, but that's just remarkable. Like, that's just crazy to do that. And the fact that those guys both became Islanders, like you said, just ensconced almost immediately, is really something special. Like, they immediately were brought in and it's like, yes, this is my team now, and I'm going to be loyal to this team. And we're going to try and do our best to make this team, you know, a championship contender. And it's, you know, it's come and gone, but that's crazy that, you know, within an hour, these two guys were both here and now they're still here.
Within an hour. And like a couple days before the season started.
Right.
And, yeah, about a week, and there've been talks about the Islanders trying to like do something like this, where, because that was right after kind of the first big free agency of the new CBA, where like there were a lot, I remember there was like a lot of teams throwing money around and putting themselves in weird positions. And there's talk about like the Islanders were the team. They're like kind of like the Red Wings and Senators right now. Like they need to get to the cap floor. They're trying to, you know, be the shrewd team, and they were. And I will never forget that when Boychuk came, everybody kind of course, it comes back to incarcerated Bob. He was the one, he was kind of on it, and he kept mentioning Letty, and everyone's like, people were like dunking on him, being like, oh, it turns out it was Boychuk. And he was the one, I remember getting a text, like a link to a tweet that he sent out, someone saying like, there's no way this is true, right? And it was like incarcerated Bob pumping the brakes, being like, nah, Letty's name is still being bandied about, like, this isn't over yet. And then like 20 minutes later, like Nick Letty comes over to the Islanders. You're just like, holy shit, like this is unbelievable. The team just completely changed in, you know, an hour. Yeah, like you said, an hour. And you think about what that trade did to that team. Like, it added probably like, what, 10 points to the standings, put them in from a team that, you know, is kind of like plucky and outside fringe playoff contender if they got lucky, to a team that was really, really good. Like that team, had they got a better effort in game 7 or God, thinking about that game stinks. But you know, if with those teams, like if that team had gotten a break here or there, we're talking like they could have went on a run too. And they weren't particularly, you know, well coached or whatever, but they had a legitimate top pairing defense. Top pair defense that played like it. Like they played exactly like what you wanted with a puck transporter like Letty, and Boychuk kind of just, you know, being the gravity of the line of the pairing and sucking everything towards him. Like it was something we hadn't had since probably, you know, the O'Coin Hamrick Janssen. Like this, if you think back to between 2001, 2002 to, or even like earlier than that, like the mid 90s to Boychuk and Letty's first year, like there was never ever an iconic first pairing like Pulock and Pellick are now. And, like they just never had one outside of O'Coin and Hamrick or Janssen, you know, depending on what the roster was make up and who was kind of in form. Like they just hadn't had that. And, you know, they were trotting out, you know, all due respect to Sean Hill and Brendan Witt, like, but that was our top pairing for a playoff year once. And it's just not, it just never happened. And you forgot what it felt like to have those guys. Like, you could sleep easy at night knowing, oh, we're playing, you know, Rick Nash tomorrow, and I don't know, Johnny Boychuk and Nick Leddy can handle that. Like, I didn't feel that way about, like you said, Andrew McDonald and you know, Travis Hamonic, even though they both had solid NHL careers, Hamonic more so, obviously. But, like, you just, they helped you sleep at night, and that's what that trade doing that, like, it had so many, those trades had so many bigger ramifications for this franchise and people know it. And like, I think, you know, Barzal or that day, like, Garth really had two shining moments, and he deserves a lot of credit for bringing these two guys over. And those two guys kind of been inseparable since too, which is funny because they're such polar opposites in everything. But it's always just been Boychuk and Leddy. So it's a day that, you know, people won't realize changed the franchise as much as it did. But it's very similar to kind of like the Yashin and Pekka day, you know, when they kind of got introduced, like, without the pomp and circumstance or pageantry, like, we weren't trotting Johnny Boychuk and Nick Leddy out at Westbury Manor or anything, but like that day should have deserved just as much pageantry because it really, really changed the fortunes of the franchise.
Right. And I know as depressing as thinking about game 6 in 2015 is, or game 7 in 2015 is, the other thing too is that perhaps Johnny Boychuk's crowning moment as an Islander was actually that game 7. I know they lost, but two Islanders showed up in that game. Jaro Halak, who turned aside a lot of Capitals shots, and Johnny Boychuk, who was out there, and Russian Machine Never Breaks, the great Capitals blog. You know, they were pretty open about how Boychuk ate Ovechkin's lunch for a long time, as they said, and he was just all over that guy every time, you know, game in, game out. And that game 7 was no different. And I know the Caps won the game eventually, but that, you know, Ovechkin, when he was on the ice, Boychuk was on the ice, and Johnny would not let him out of his sight for 1 minute. And to do that against him is a remarkable testament to just how good Boychuk could be at that point. Again, it was, you know, there was, he got old and things changed, but I mean, for those first couple of years, that was sort of the anti-OV medicine that the Islanders needed, was the guy to go out there and be like, nope, we're taking this guy over. And then, of course, you had the anti-Malkin medicine, which was Travis Hamonic. Okay, we're going to take a break right now, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the contract ramifications of all this, where the Islanders go from here, at least in terms of money-wise, and what's going to happen next. All right, so give us a minute and come back, and we'll talk about that. Thanks. Our favorite sponsor is VintageIceHockey.com, where you can find t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. We are recording this, I guess, the day before Cyber Monday, a couple of days after Black Friday, but there are sales going on at VintageIceHockey.com, and there are new shirts. Kevin has introduced 7 new shirts in the last week. We got some cool stuff from the Havana Tropicals. I mean, come on, Havana Tropicals, Cuban hockey, that's awesome. The Columbus Chill, the New Haven Nighthawks, like, these are teams, this is stuff you're never going to find anywhere else. And if you use the code LIGHTHOUSE15, you could save 15%. They also have our Al Arbor t-shirts, where the money goes to the Center for Dementia Research. So check out Vintage Ice Hockey. They got 7 new shirts. They got a ton of other stuff that's there, and it's great. Use the code LIGHTHOUSE15, save yourself 15%. VintageIceHockey.com. Okay, so notice, if you go back and listen to that first half hour, you'll notice that the word retirement was never uttered by either Mike or I. And that's because Johnny Boychuk isn't retiring. His career is over, but he's not retiring. And there's probably a strategic reason for that. And he probably won't retire anytime soon. The Islanders are expected to put him on long-term injured reserve, which would give them the option to go above the cap for the amount remaining, the average annual value of Johnny Boychuk's contract remaining still on. He's still got 2 years on it at $6 million per year. So they would be allowed to exceed the cap by about $6 million. Now, the good news is, for as long as Boychuk is on LTIR, and again, if his career is over, he ain't coming off of it until his contract is up. So the Islanders have a lot of kind of outstanding contract things to determine. One, obviously, is Matthew Barzell, who is the one final RFA that they have that has not signed a contract yet. They also have what we talked about, Andy Green, Corey Schneider, Matt Martin. All these guys reportedly have sort of handshake deals, I guess top drawer, you know, desk drawer deals that are ready to be signed, but we need to kind of, they need to figure out, you know, I guess where they all fit under the cap. So this is going to allow Lou Lamoriello to do a lot of maneuvering. Now, if Boychuk did retire, then his money just comes off the books and they can move on. But I feel like Lou kind of knows which way to better handle all of this. Obviously the, you know, the cap would change at the end of whatever the next season starts. So they got to take that into consideration, but it is definitely going to, you know, change things and alter things. And if there's a silver lining to all of this, it's that $6 million is not a small amount of money when you have an, what is it? An $81 million cap or an $82 million cap. That's a lot of money. And so that's going to allow a lot of maneuverability for Lamoriello to kind of fit all these guys in. Doesn't mean the team is going to really be different than it was last year, although unfortunately you're going to have lost Johnny Boychuk. But that's kind of another issue for another time. Right now, Lou's focus is on getting Barzell signed, getting these three other guys signed, and moving on. And, you know, again, it's as much as it sucks losing Johnny Boychuk, yeah, $6 million, it's going to go a long way. So, you know, if you were waiting for something to break in terms of how the hell they're going to get all these guys signed, this is that thing that has broken. Maybe there's another thing that breaks at some point too, but this is kind of a big deal. And so it's not bad to think about that.
Yeah. And I think this is not like the A to B, AB kind of reaction or ramification is it helps get Barzell under control and whatever. But it also, like you said, $6 million in cap space is really not insignificant. And it's not just for this year, right? It's next year. I think he had one more year after. So like that helps in terms, because they, you know, we're going to have a little bit of salary cap gymnastics again next year, but it does just give Lou a little bit more flexibility in terms of just like other stuff, whether it's you know, signing a guy who's like a Derek Brassard type who we need to kind of provide more depth at forward or whatever, and it's kind of a testament or like another kind of thing that Boychuk did, because like he could have it really sounds like it was dangerous for him to keep playing and whatever, but it's clear that like he's not an idiot, like he knows what this decision means for the Islanders and for Lamoriello, so it's just like him helping the team even in that way too is huge, and it just kind of shows you what the kind of guy he is. But yeah, I think what the good news is, or the silver lining of all this is exactly that. Like we don't have to sweat the rest of, getting Matt Barzell under contract for whenever the season starts. And, you know, now it kind of gives Lou flexibility in with that negotiation too, and it gives him a couple more avenues rather than just saying like, here's like a 1 year deal to get you to arbitration or whatever it was going to be pre Boychuk. But it just opens up more possibilities for the team. And like I think a lot of people are it's funny because the Islanders are getting pushed down a lot, but you know, their salary cap issues obviously is a big part of it, but people have such a short memories that like this team without Boychuk just was a game away from being a game away from the Stanley Cup. Like this isn't, sure they lost Devon Taves too, who's important part, but I think we know that Noah Dobson looks ready and looks like he can probably fill that role, and with Andy Green filling Boychuk's role, like this team is not going to be as it stands now, it's not going to look very different from what we just saw. And not only did they go on a run, but they did it in style and through skill and good game planning. Like this team, they really made the Capitals and Flyers, two very good teams, look ordinary. And then they punched above their weight a little bit with the Lightning, but that's what happens in playoff series, especially when you get to that point in the playoffs. Like it sounds like people are ringing alarm bells about the Islanders a little bit. I think that's kind of settled down with the Boychuk thing. But it's just crazy to me that people aren't really are once again just like doing the same thing that they've been doing with this team, which is kind of just looking right past it. And, you know, they pat Barry Trotz on the back on the way through it. And they're like, all right, let's get to the Hurricanes and Rangers now. Good job, Barry. But, you know, this team is very, you know, bland to everybody else. But so the Islanders, we talked about how this team like has a way of sneaking up on people, even though that shouldn't be the case when they just made the Eastern Conference Final. But they could sneak up on people again next year, because like people are kind of overlooking it. And that's this Boychuk deal kind of helps that cause a lot.
It's almost the most Islanders thing you could possibly imagine, is like coming off of the Eastern Conference Finals and then still sneaking up on people a year later, you know, like, yeah, that's why I said before, you know, I think on the ice, I think a lot of what Boychuk brought would be replicated by Andy Green. And, you know, would partner with Noah Dobson, which had been a successful pairing for a couple of times when they did get to play. And then obviously you have, you know, Devon Taves being traded does hurt. You know, we talked about it in our last podcast. We didn't like it then. Definitely don't like it now, even more so with Boychuk being out. But you still have Pelech and Pulock at the top, and then Letty and Mayfield in the middle. And then if you have Green and Dobson, that's pretty good. And then you've got Sebastian Aho, who's been knocking on the door for a long time. You know, we wanted to focus a lot on Johnny Boychuk here, and I didn't want to necessarily bring up the sort of media landscape of it. But if you still have a subscription to the Athletic, and you ever see anything there that mentions the Islanders that's not written by Arthur Staple, I highly, highly recommend you do not read it, because nobody there understands that this team better than Arthur does. And chief and, you know, case in point is Scott Burnside, who apparently has never heard of Noah Dobson, doesn't know about him, is wondering why the Islanders didn't get a puck mover. It's like, I mean, this kid's probably going to be pretty good at moving the puck. I don't know what, you know, but whatever, I guess. And then you've got guys like Bodie Wild and Mitch Van de Sample that are like way deep in the play pipeline. But, you know, defense is one place where the Islanders do have actual prospects. So, I mean, this could, you know, this may not be the worst possible thing in the world on the ice. But again, you know, losing a big personality is never really that great. But yeah, it's a lot of it goes back to Trotz. And, you know, I think a lot of what Boychuk brought when he first came to the Islanders, the stuff that we talked about, the sort of old school mentality, the old school gravitas, I think Barry Trotz brings a lot of that now too. And obviously he's still here. And you know, there, as much as some people have looked past the Islanders, and it definitely is going to happen, it's going to happen for as long as, even if they win the Stanley Cup, it's still going to happen the next year. You know, they still do have Trotz, and I think he's going to have a game plan and going to figure all this out. And there is a different perception out there. Like, these guys aren't, they might sneak up on people in a general sense, but I think around the league, players know what to expect when they play the Islanders now. Boychuk, no Boychuk, Green, no Green, whatever. Like, they know what they're going to get, because this is a Trotz coach team now, and they're going to get that. And whether it's the same, more or less the same roster that played last year, or they find somebody new to bring in somehow, they know what they're going to get. And I think, you know, people know, even free agents know what they're going to get when they sign here. I mean, JG Pageau learned pretty quickly what it was like to be an Islander, and he's ensconced now. Again, he's, you know, as much a part of that team as anybody. Maybe he takes up the mantle of locker room goofball and team dad. I don't know. yeah, it's definitely going to be something to watch and see how they adjust. But having Trotz there, and we've said this a lot over the last 2 years, having Trotz there makes you feel a lot better about it, because I think they'll figure out something, and they'll make up whatever loss they have in a way that, you know, he'll be ready for it. Now, again, getting back to the signings, yeah, well, I just have to wait and see what Lamoriello can do. But I think he's going to work out something. And I don't know. I kind of feel like Barzal is going to sign one of those contracts that people are going to be mad about. Like, Mikhail Sergachev just signed a contract, yeah, that was like, what was it, like $3.5 million or something? And it was like, people wanted to throw all kinds of crazy RFA offer sheets at him. And he ended up signing a totally below market value deal to stay with the team that just won his damn Stanley Cup. Like, why wouldn't he stay there? He's even playing Tampa. Team's great. His friends are there. Great. Good for him. You know, I mean, I don't know if that will happen with Barzal, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
Yeah, but, I have, you know, that feeling too a little bit. Like, I just feel like people, because everything needs to be, you know, projected and modeled out, like, there's a human element to this stuff, and who knows, like, maybe Matt Barzal just doesn't really, you know, he knows he's going to be making more money in you know, sponsorships this year, whatever. Like, there's a lot of random stuff that happens that we don't know about. And I just feel like something's going to happen where the Islanders get the deal they want. Like, I mean, look, even like what Lou did last offseason with Eberle and Nelson, like, no matter what you think of those deals, like, they came in under market value. They were, if they went to the open market, Eberle's probably not as much, but Nelson, he probably would have got what Kevin Hayes got. And Sorokin too, I feel like, had a, you know, people were like, this is a great deal for the Islanders, whatever. So I just think that we're going to see Barzal come in at a deal. I think it's perfect way to put it. That's going to make the people you want to get mad about it. That's my hope. That, you know, you want those accounts to be like, oh, I can't believe that he would do this. This is robbery. Like, these players need to start standing up for themselves. But yeah, I agree with you.
They're gonna he'll sign a contract that'll make half of hockey Twitter want to rewrite the CBA. Like, it's just, you know, how could this possibly happen? I mean, you don't know the guy. I mean, he's living there. He this is his team.
I love when people freak out about that stuff too. Like, yeah, it just doesn't matter. Like, it's
Mikhail how could he possibly sign for 10 cents less than our projection said? Well,
I know they don't have state income tax in Florida, but he could have easily, you know, weighed that out and still got away with it if he signed here with the Leafs.
Does he not have an accountant on staff on retainer that can tell him these things? Get, they're human beings. Like, they just want to stay where they want to play, you know? And some guys move on.
I would love to play hockey in Tampa Bay.
You're no kidding.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, oh, well, you know, the Ottawa Senators could have probably paid him $8 million a year. Like, you know, all due respect to Ottawa, but, you know, I'll take the $2 million to play in Tampa Bay over the $8 million to play in Ottawa or somewhere like that. Come on. Like, it's just
my favorite thing about offer sheets. I don't even think we mentioned this last time, but, like, I love when people are like, why wouldn't Detroit sign him to an offer sheet? You know, big RFA deal. So what people do all the time is they complain about guys making too much money and how their cap hit is ruining this team and they need to get rid of him. And then immediately they're like, why doesn't this team sign this guy to this enormous cap hit? You know, it's like, okay. And then what happens? And 2 years from now, we're talking about this guy being an albatross and they got to get rid of him. Like, it's just maybe Steve Yzerman just didn't want to sign him. Like, I don't know. Maybe he wants to have the caps. I don't know. Talk to Steve Yzerman. Ask him. This is crazy. This stuff never goes away. The hockey's gone away, but these kinds of conversations never quite go away. But and I don't think Johnny Boychuk's going to go away either. How about that segue? I don't think he's going to go away. I think he's going to hang around the island. I mean, whenever they play, wherever they play, Johnny Boychuk's going to be the you know, guest of honor that first game. He's going to wave to the crowd. They're going to go bananas. When they open up UBS Arena at Belmont, he'll be there. You know, they're going to – whenever they bring back the Islanders Hall of Fame, he'll be in it. And I think he'll be a shining presence in the Islanders Alumni Association for a long, long time. And it will suck.
Perfect.
When he's
perfect for that kind of stuff. Like, that's the great thing about him is, like – You hope that it sounds like, you know, he really enjoyed his time on Long Island and has, you know, planted some roots here. So you hope that he's just around because he's like the type of guy that you're just like, you'd love to see walking around at the Coliseum or UBS Arena in like a suit, just like kind of walking the hallway and being like, oh yeah, that's a Johnny Boychuk. Like, I watched him, you know, throw Evgeny Kuznetsov through glass once.
I could just see him too. Like, he just fits. I know he's like 30 years younger than they are, but like, couldn't you just see a box, like a suite at UBS Arena, and it's like Clark Gillies, you know, well, Butch is working, but like, you know, Gillies, Nystrom, and then like, you know, Benoit Hogue, and then Johnny Boychuk. Like, don't those guys just sort of like all kind of fit together? Yeah. Like, you know, they all look like they all belong together.
Yeah, they sure do. Like, it's like the Steve Webb thing. Like, Steve Webb's been working for the team for like 20 years now, and I'm not totally sure what he does. I know he does like community stuff, but like, he just, you know, not as much anymore, but used to see Steve Webb at every Islander game. He always had a smile on his face. Like, it's a good gig. And he deserves it. Like, he deserves that kind of cushy thing. And I'm sure he'll get it.
But it's just funny how they all kind of fit. You know, they're all from different places. They're all other teams, obviously. They play for the Islanders at different points and had different means of success, but they all look like they all belong together. And I think they're all gonna, you know, hanging out in the jerseys with their names on the back, and people are like waving up to them, hey, you know, showing their kids, look, there's Johnny Boychuk and Clark Gillies. Like, it just makes sense. You know? So looking forward to seeing that. And thanks, Johnny. Thanks for everything. Really appreciate it. Fare thee well.
Fare thee well. Yeah, he really was just, it was great, like, having him on the Islanders.
Yeah, really, yeah, was. I loved it. Yeah, I gotta get a shirt or a jersey or something. I should have gotten one a long time ago, but I don't know. now is the time.
This is a personal anecdote, but my wife is from Massachusetts, and they're big Bruins fans. And I just remember that, I don't know why I didn't bring this up earlier, but when they did get Boychuk, just the look on her face was just like completely blank, because like he had the same kind of, you know, reputation, I guess, there. And so that quickly became like a, all right, like, I guess I can start rooting for the Islanders kind of moment for her when they did get Boychuk.
That's pretty funny.
You know, kind of like how when Chris Wagner went to the Bruins, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Now that Chris Wagner's on the team, I can start rooting for them.
Yeah, right. No, that's really funny, though, because she knew. Yeah. She knew what they were getting in this guy, and was like, damn, now my team's not going to have that.
So. Yeah, it didn't have – the Tim Thomas trade didn't have the same effect.
I wonder why. Yeah, I don't think that that was a – yeah. There's a whole episode. Oh, I completely forgot. So so before all this had happened, Mike and I have been talking about a bunch of different things, and we were talking about trades, and it was Arthur Staple, you know, we were talking with, and because he wrote an article at The Athletic about the 10 worst trades in Islanders history. There's a companion article coming soon. I won't spoil it for you, but it will be happening soon. And it occurred to me, like, you know what would be great would be a podcast that's all about just Islanders trades. So every episode is based on one trade, and we just talk about that trade and those players and the sort of, like, you know, not complete comprehensive stuff, but, like, you know, where the tree branches all went to at a certain point. Because, boy, you talk about having a lot of material. Like, there's no shortage of material, especially with this team, of these crazy trades going all the way back to 72. Like, you could talk about, you know, we could sit here and do a half hour just on the Jean Potvin trade, which is just, like, you know, the first year and all the ramifications of that. And so I think we're going to do that. You look for that in the future. We're going to, I don't know what it'll be called or how we'll do it, but it'll definitely be me and Mike and maybe a guest once or twice here and there, and just pick one trade and we'll talk about it. Kind of like what we talked about today with Boychuk and Letty moves. But I'm excited for it because, I mean, again, there's so much there, and it's, you know, it would be a history sort of based podcast, but man, those tree branches have a long reach, and you never know when a trade from 1992 is still having, you know, a damaging effect in 2020 or something, like, or maybe, you know, had a good effect in 2020. So it's definitely something. I mean, the two of us could talk about this stuff all day long. So I think,
yeah, we're looking forward. There's just so many amazing ones. There really are. And just, you know, without hockey on lately, I've been watching a lot of, I tweeted it out, that the YouTube channel is SAB31NYI. And it's just chock full of you know, almost like full game, condensed game highlights from the kind of the era of Islanders that I grew up in, you know, from Laviolette to present. And, you know, I've just been looking at some of these guys and being like, oh my God, like, I can't remember, like, I can't believe that, you know, like, I was watching Randy Robitaille, and I was like, I just deep dive into Randy Robitaille, and I go back to find that him and I think it's Matt Martin's draft pick was traded in the Randy Robitaille, in one of the Randy Robitaille trades, and just the amount of kind of stuff you can kind of just build out from those teams, especially for me, just because that's like kind of the my salad days as an Islander fan, and when I really started to get into it, it's wild, and you just, and that YouTube channel is just unbelievable. It's just great to see Mike Dunham wearing his all white pads, white helmet from you know, that early part of that first Ted Nolan season, and yeah. And you know, with the orange jersey, it's fun to watch those games now because you know where those seasons had you know, ended, and we can, you know, we're pretty, that era is long gone now, so it is you know, just basically nostalgia, and you just the feelings that you have when I mean, I thought Trent Hunter was going to be like a 40 goal scorer and be really good, but so it's going to be a lot of that stuff. I'm excited to talk about. Nothing makes me more excited than talking about those 10 players, so yeah, I'm very excited for these 6 hour four episode installments of the Alexei Zhitnik for Freddie Meyer trade.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the thing too. Like, you know, for me personally as a podcast listener, and anything less than 20 minutes is a little bit short. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, no, these are going to be way more than that. Like, there's just going to be so much you could talk about, you know. And I mean, even the era immediately preceding the Laviolette era, which was a sort of like maddest of Mad Mike seasons, you know, when like a guy was getting traded every month, you know, are just rife with crazy stuff. And then obviously, you know, there's 30 years of Bill Torrey trades, you know, which most of which worked out pretty well. I think we could all say for certain, but I'm sure there's a few in there that, you know, went a little bit sideways on old Bowtie Bill, and, you know, probably it's like, man, I don't know what I was thinking there, but maybe there's some cool stuff in there too. So, yeah. So again, this is all very new, so just keep an eye on it. And it's something we could definitely do, you know, basically whenever, just want to get together and talk. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. Dom and Steve and Jenny all keeping the lights on over there for the most part over the course of the offseason. And, you know, listen to all our podcasts, Noel and Dan. The Advanced Shouting is coming back this week. Go back and listen to Joe's archives for a little while. He'll be having some stuff, I think, soon, too. And, yeah, thanks a lot for listening. Thanks to Johnny Boychuk. And we'll talk to you again very shortly, whether it's this podcast or another. All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Oh, wait, where can people find you on Twitter?
Big Lebowski, two E's.
Big Lebowski with two E's. I totally forgot about
that's
that.
That's all right.
so yeah, you can follow me at Culture of Listening. Okay, now we're done. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.